Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, dear friends. Here's Deacon Randall. Thank you for choosing our show. You are powerful. Doctor of Divinity and an Energy Leadership Master Practitioner. Each of us has a divine heritage that far too few of us realize. Deacon coaches spirituality and interviews people who are masters of connection. We all share a wonderful future, but few of us realize we are powerful. This program's goal introduces you to your own power with resources to help you in your search. We have an energy spectrum from which we can choose. Speaking of choice, you get to choose what you do with your time. We know that, and we are so happy you choose to listen to our show. Take us with you wherever you go, and always remember, you are powerful. Please welcome Deacon Randall and his guest for this podcast program. Here is Deacon.
And thank you so much for that introduction. We're just so pleased to be with our audience on this program. We really enjoy our role as a messenger and as a servant and being able to help those folks in our audience who are looking for ways to improve their lives. We do that from this program and from the guests that we have who share with us their life, their history. And tonight we have on our program Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre. She's an author, a past life connector, and fear buster. She helps those suffering from irrational fears to mend the past so they can overcome those fears and live happy, healthy, successful lives. Her books, and there are many of them, there's The Fast Road to Happiness, The Journey into Now, The Life is Forever, Get Used to It, and The Forever Principles. And I had a chance to talk with her several months ago, and I'm just so excited that I'm going to get the chance to talk with you again tonight, Mary Lou. Welcome back to our program, and I just really am pleased to have you here with us tonight.
Well, Dr. Randall, it's such a pleasure to be back on your show, talking to you and all of your friends, and I wish everybody a happy new year and affirm this will be the best one yet.
Wonderful, wonderful. And when we take a look at what we do, we are messengers, we are servants, and we help people to transform their lives. And you have a specific approach to help those suffering from irrational fears. So tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us a little bit about you and your history and what you're doing these days.
Oh, well, okay, like I said a little earlier, I'm going to have to talk really fast because we're not going to have much time together. But I do want to tell people that I am available for past life readings. If you go to my website at www.marilou McIntyre.com, and you can click on the contact page, and we can, you know, set an appointment. So if there's anyone out there that does have an irrational fear, or is depressed and just can't get over it, or is having relationship problems continually, you know, I don't mean just having a spat with your mate or something like that. But anyhow, if there are any problems that make life less than pleasant, I'd be happy to try to help you heal that. And in my book, Fast Road to Happiness, there's all kinds of documentation on how this is done and a roadmap on how you can go back into your own past lives to release what you have carried forward in a subconscious nature that makes some of your behavior irrational or you know, just not what you would hope in this lifetime. And the secret, you know, the key is to learn to control your own life and direct the things that happen to you, and not just be wishy-washy, caught up in the wind or wherever it catches you, because that's the key. We're here to learn to be in perfect harmony with natural law and one another. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? But people have so many problems that they're trying to face or that they can't face. And so that's why we're here, to help, you know, relieve you from all the dissensions and move you into a spiritually oriented space where you realize what a divine, wonderful person you are.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that, Mary Lou, it goes back to the title of this radio program is You Are Powerful. And so many people
exactly.
don't realize how powerful they are. And you're on a mission to assist them to discover their power. And I can hear that in your voice, and I certainly can see it in the books and what you've done up until now, and what you choose to do now and in the future in your pulling people forward or helping people to remove their irrational fears and find their own pathway and to realize how powerful they are. Thank you.
Well, that's right. That's my pleasure and my purpose, yes.
Lovely. Lovely. Now, where are you located?
I'm in Arizona, not mm-hmm. too far from Sedona, as a matter of fact.
Oh, we were just
now,
talking
most,
about Sedona.
Most people on the spiritual path have heard of Sedona, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what they have heard about Sedona or what may be popular about Sedona.
Well, I'm not really a travel agent. All I know yeah. is that in the summer, it's a nice place to go because it's a little cooler and they have all kinds of shops and wonderful restaurants and mountain trails and gorgeous red cliffs, and I mean the topography is I think probably unique to most parts of the world, and it is supposed to be one of the spiritual centers on this planet. So for those that are seeking discovery of themselves, that's a good place to go.
Yeah, that's what I've heard many times before.
And I know when
well.
I have books, go to their book shows. I sell lots of books and give lots and lots of reading. So it really
That's
is
excellent.
A spiritually oriented place.
Excellent, excellent. Now, since last time that you and I talked, I see that there is listening to an angel voice in my head. Tell us something about
yes,
that,
Dr.
Marlowe.
That's the Forever Principles.
Pardon? Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead and tell us about
that. The title
that.
Of that is The Forever Principles. And I had okay. written the two books about my spiritual search and how I was using my own spiritual development to help others gain health and happiness. And I was just satisfied in giving readings and selling the books that I'd written. And I started hearing in my head, Doctor, I was young once, a couple of hundred centuries ago. And I thought, whoa, where is that coming from? Because I'm as psychic as a doorknob. I had no idea yeah. what was going on. I thought I was going crazy, truly. And so this went on for a couple of weeks. And finally, I just got aggravated by this invasion of privacy. And I thought back, what are you doing? What is the meaning of all this? And a little sweet voice said, That would be a wonderful opening sentence for your next book. I go, what? I'm not writing another book. Who are you? What's going on here? And she said, look, you've written two books about your life. Now I want you to write a book about some of my adventures. I'm an angel that has heard the call for help, and I'm here to help, and I'm going to call myself Forever, because life is forever. And I want you to be my typewriter. I will dictate to you, and you will write of some of the experiences and some of the ways that I have of helping to inspire and motivate people. And I said, oh, yeah, I don't know if I can do that. And she said, well, let's try it. And by golly, I sat down. I said, okay, you know, I mean, what are you going to do when somebody declares they're an angel and they have a message for humanity? You sit down and you try. And that's what I did. And sure enough, she came through loud and clear. And so that's hopefully my last book from this sweet being, the Forever Angel. And it is meant to help people and to stimulate imagination and give people an expanded awareness or, you know, different concepts that perhaps they've never thought of. Like, what would it be like to be a mermaid? What would it be like to be a redwood? You know, a tree. What would it be like to help create a planet? You know, stuff like that.
So. Yeah, small stuff like that. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's delightful. Right. Now, you have a very profound history. Describe what drew you to what you do today.
Well, I started as a very young girl. I was about 7 years old, and I was going to the nearest church. It was one of those, you know, where everybody claps and sings, and I can't even remember what the name of it was now, but I used to walk there because it was only about 4 or 5 blocks from where I lived. And the reason I was drawn to wanting to do that was I was looking for God, because I realized even at that early age that people were very mean to one another. And having a lot of problems. And I just felt that there was some kind of a power out there, you know, that people could connect with to get guidance and help. In other words, I was looking for God. And so then when I got to be seven, I was given permission by my family to ride the bus, and so I rode the bus to the first church, Christian church, you know, Orthodox church.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I ended up, Randall, going, being baptized in every church in Seattle, Washington. I would go from one to the other, and I would realize, no, God isn't here. No, I can't go through that person to get to God. I know there's a contact I can make. And I kept going, kept looking, never found anything. And so I just ultimately really kind of became an agnostic. And I continued going to college and ended up getting married and having a big family of 4 children. And still, you know, not happy, because I just felt there was an emptiness in me, like I was missing out on something really great. And,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So one day, this was after my children were pretty well grown, I was standing at the apartment window where I was living, and I just started screaming at the universe, what are you doing? I'm at the bottom of a garbage can. I need help to get out. Because I was about ready to jump, quite frankly.
Boom. Yeah.
And But, you know, that made me feel better. At least I got it out. I, you know, gave the call, help. And the next day, I'm not kidding you, the next day, a gentleman walked into the a psychological testing clinic where I work, asked for me by name, and I happened to have been out in the lobby. Yeah. And started talking about this place called the Foundation that was right up there on Capitol Hill, about six blocks from where I worked. And he said he had put a message in to this medium to contact his master teacher and just, you know, send love. And the master teacher came back through the medium and asked if he would do them a favor, which he agreed to do. So he was given my name and the address where I worked, and asked to go and get me and bring me to the Foundation. And so the next day he shows up, you know, at my clinic, and he's telling me all of this, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I've never heard any of it. I didn't know anything about mediumship or, you know, communications or anything like that.
Yes.
And I thought the guy was off his rocker, quite frankly. And so anyhow, he left. I thanked him for the invite and all that. And I thought about it that night and, well, for the coming week. And I decided that I would go and check it out because it was the weirdest sounding thing I'd ever heard of. So I went, and this medium told me stuff, Randall, that I knew nobody else on this planet knew, because I had never told anybody. And yet here he was, you know, declaring it, even telling me about my last boyfriend and, you know, why that didn't work out. I mean, just really stuff that you just had to know, that this knowledge was coming from some source, certainly outside of my awareness. And so it was like the bells went off, and I felt like I had 7-Up running through my body. Not just shrills, but 7-Up. I mean, really.
Oh, my
did.
Goodness. This is so fascinating.
And so I really, this guy, whoever he was in touch with this higher source that I knew existed. And if he could do it, so could I. So
I can feel the excitement in your words. I can just absolutely feel it. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh,
isn't that miraculous?
Yeah. Yes. And so at that time, it was a gentleman who walked into the door of the center where you worked and talked with you. Now, how does the vision or the communication come to you?
How does what?
When you're listening to Forever, the angelic voice, and you get perhaps you get a vision or a communication, how does that come to you?
Well, during the right now, she's no longer with me. She's gone off to other galaxies and stuff. And,
I see. Okay.
So, but during the time of the writing, it was just like, you know, when you're thinking of something, well, it was just like that, only I wasn't doing the thinking. I was getting the ideas. They were being, you know, well, telepathically sent to me.
Mm-hmm.
See?
I got you.
And it was just like they were, you know, like they were my thoughts because they were in my head. But there were some things I've got to tell you that we're so far out, and I thought as I was even typing them, I thought, well, I can't publish this. This is too far out. And after this happened a couple of times, her little voice, very strong, but, you know, sweet voice, said to me, do not delete any of this. This is for future generations. And I said, oh, okay. You know, so I didn't delete any of it. But I still think it's pretty far out. People that have read it said it has just really stimulated imagination and thinking about, you know, universal principles and theology and metaphysics and all of those things. Plus, the first part of the book has very comforting, inspirational little paragraphs. So, like, if you read, like, in the morning when you wake up, if you read a couple of them, it would just give you a real boost to help you get started. And then at night, when you want to just relax and feel good so you can have a nice sleep, to read a couple would be, you know, very restful and relaxing for you. So it's a very healing, book, and I would like to suggest people can go to my website, and there are excerpts of all my books. They're on my website. And then buy a bunch of them and give them out as gifts.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful to watch as people begin to understand how powerful they really are, and then a person's view of health and wellness begins to change, and they begin to realize what is the source of that health and wellness, and how does it come. And as you think about your current practice and the folks that you work with, when you think about those folks, what are your favorite conditions that you treat when you're helping persons?
Well, I don't necessarily have a favorite condition, because I don't want anybody to have conditions that they have to come to me about. But almost everybody does. But if there's, you know, irrational behavior, like terrible fear of water or fear of heights that interferes with your work capacity, or problems with members of the family where there's constant conflict in the family, or with a boyfriend, you know, to find out why this is happening, because there's no logical reason. In other words, there was nothing in this lifetime that would cause you to go into, say, a depression, or be aggravated with family members all the time, or never be able to succeed as anything. You know, it's things like that that distress people.
Yeah.
And actually, the bottom line, after 30 years of regressing and giving readings to people without hypnosis, but still, you know, giving readings, I realized that you don't really have to know what caused a problem to realize that you have a problem and then set about correcting it. Some people do need to know. For I don't know, insecurity reasons, or lack of, confidence within themselves. I don't know what it is. But it's like the way I look at it. If you're in a house that is affected by an earthquake and you have huge cracks in the walls, you don't have to know what caused the earthquake to know that you have to fix the cracks in the wall, right?
Excellent analogy. And what role do the clients play in your work toward these behaviors?
Well, if it's in person, person to person, I can regress them, but I don't really have a location where I do that anymore. So most of what I do is the past life reading. In other words, I go into the Akashic Records and find their book of life and go back to the lifetime where this trauma initiated. So all they have to do is be brave enough or alert enough to want to get help. And, well, first of all, to realize that they need help, and then to reach out for help. and they can go to my website, and I have a contact page, and we can go from there. And I just, it isn't really a fun activity that I do, because most of the lifetimes are pretty tragic, or the people were pretty mean and nasty, you know. And so that's why they're having problems in this lifetime, of course. And I have to tell them these things. But that's how they can bring that knowledge into their consciousness, so they can realize that that type of thing should no longer be affecting them, because they're not even in the same situation, you know, and they can just get over it.
Yeah.
And
right.
There are people that have gotten over it right while they're standing in front of me and I'm giving them a reading. You know, that has happened. So that's what's very rewarding. And then, like you, you know, you reach out to help people in a much different way. But this is the way my guides chose to help me develop, to, you know, help people. And so that's my life now, and I love it.
Because I can hear that. You know? I can hear that in your voice. That's fantastic. Now, Mary Lou, how do you define spirituality?
Oh, you know, I've never thought of actually defining it. But it's a state of being, was it you that asked me if I lived outside of the box? Anyhow, that's what spirituality is breaking out of the box and all the do's and don'ts original sin and hellfire brimstone and all those things that create fear and limitation, and get beyond them and realize that you're created by a divine source in the image of that source, whether you want to call it
wonderful.
God or infinite intelligence
right.
or whatever, you're perfect. And you have that. But then, you see, then we get into all this dogma, all this fear, and all this confusion. And so we lose sight of our perfection, right? And
absolutely.
When I ask people, do you think you're perfect? Oh, no, I don't even like myself. Most people, they don't like themselves. I say, well, do you want to live forever? Oh, no, I don't want to be old and decrepit. You know, so that's the consciousness that most people are living with today, sadly enough. However, I do see and have seen in the last few years a greater enlightenment, a greater social or spiritual awareness, and a greater striving for unity with natural law, you know, cause and effect,
and that type of
and karma, and, you know, what is real. In other words, get beyond just following what people tell you to do, and start relating to truth. And you can test truth. That's what my books are about. How I tested all these principles that were so far beyond anything I'd ever heard in orthodoxy that I had to test it. I couldn't believe that it was true. But if something is true, and you can take this to the bank, if something is true, you can prove it. So never just take,
I said yes. But
you know
right.
That's true.
Yes, that's fantastic, and I like the energy that I'm hearing from you, and I like the passion. It's and everyone, whether it's health or relationships or life purpose or fears or phobias, grief, money issues, or just simply quality of life. There is an approach, and there is a way that you can begin to recognize you, the individual, can begin to recognize that you are powerful. And Mary Lou, you have such a program. You're so dynamic. I always, always enjoy so much being on a radio program with you. You're delightful. And I want to thank you so very much for this evening. You've been, it's just, I use the word a lot, but it's so fascinating to me that I thoroughly enjoy you so very much. So very much.
Well, thank you. I hope we can do this again real soon.
I hope so too, Mary Lou. Thank you for being here. Thank you so very much. And allow me to thank you, my audience, for being here with us as well. We've so enjoyed being together and so enjoyed that you chose to be part of this program. Thank you to my audience. Thank you to Mary Lou. And I wish you all a very, very, very good night. Goodbye.